Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CacheFly.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 69 for October 26th, 2008. Co-working. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by GoToMyPC, wherever you go, access your PC and all your files, programs, and email remotely with GoToMyPC. For a free trial of this award-winning service, visit GoToMyPC.com/monkeys. It's time for Jumpin' Monkeys, the show that jumps and has monkeys. And ladies and gentlemen, here she is, the star of our show, Little Monkey Megan Maroney. You know how the... Well, now, maybe this isn't how it started.
I don't know.
Wasn't it the story when you were showing on the screensavers a picture of your nephew?
Yes.
And I called him a little monkey.
Yeah.
Was that when you got the idea?
I don't know.
I do also remember you loved monkeys.
I have always loved monkeys.
So could it just be that you just said that I love monkeys and I took off on that?
You know what? I think it was... it started actually when I used to have LiveJournal, and you could customize what the comments, you know, would, instead of saying three comments... I would say three monkeys jumping on the bed. I think I said that once, and then I just liked that idea. And then when I switched over to movable type,
So it really comes from that old song.
Yes.
Do you sing that to your kids? No more monkeys.
I do sometimes, yeah. And we have a lot of calls to the doctor. So today we're going to talk about co-working, which is, you know, freelancers working together in the same space, sharing a space, kind of like the Grotto in San Francisco, sharing a space, but they're not actually working together.
So it's not, I mean, I think that's also, that term is also used when two people share one 40-hour job.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
But you're not talking about that.
No, we're talking about working
You're talking about communal workspace.
Yeah, communal workspace.
Okay.
And we're going to talk to Felicity Chapman, who combines that kind of communal workspace with daycare for your kids.
Oh, that's so, this is a neat idea. This is a new business. Is this, where is this, is it all over now?
Well, she has been opening new franchises. It's a franchise, but right now it's in the South Bay, I believe.
San Jose area.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we've got some other exciting things. We're going to talk about statistics, manga and statistics.
And manga?
Yes. Manga?
No, I think, it's Japanese, so you're kind of probably tempted to give it the kind of, you know, exotic pronunciation, manga. Mm-hmm. But I think it's manga.
And I also have a link from Z Frank that's going to be really exciting. Pictures of baby pictures and people who have tried to recreate their baby pictures as adults. It's a really cute site. So,
lots of good
first,
stuff coming up.
Yeah, I wanted to remind people to call us.
Please do.
Do you remember what our phone number was?
I do. It's right there on the screen for those of you watching at home, playing the home version of our game. It's 707-981-4602.
We should explain how people can watch us, too.
Yeah, we like it when you watch us live because, we're exhibitionists.
Yes.
Just go to live.twit.tv during our normal tape time, which is 3:30. Our new tape time is 3:30 Pacific on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
That's 6:30 Eastern. And it's 22:30 UTC.
Right. And what's the show you record before this?
Floss Weekly. It's right after Floss Weekly.
So it's kind of like how Friends used to come on right after Seinfeld.
You got a great lead-in.
Yeah, I do.
All the open source programmers are going, kids, no! Now, you know what's interesting? One of the reasons I wanted to do this show is because more and as the geeks age, more and more of them are having kids. And I think a lot of open source programmers, a lot of them that I talk to,
mm-hmm.
have young kids now.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're roughly in your age group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. So each week we talk about a way to spend your money, a way to save your money, and a way to give back to the community. So the first spend is the Manga Guide to Statistics.
You know, it's funny. I was watching The Daily Show a couple of nights ago, and he was bemoaning the fact that the networks during this economic crisis act as if their audience is 8 years old.
It's true.
So he had clips of like the morning show on CBS making these big foam rubber dominoes and saying it's like dominoes. And it's true. They really treat you as ignorant.
Yeah.
But when it comes to statistics, I think that's a good thing because, frankly, we are ignorant.
It's true.
This comes from O'Reilly.
Yeah, it's No Starch Press. And it's an interesting book. There's some sample pages. I gave you a link to the PDF. I don't know if your computer is able to open the PDF. But it's just basically learning statistics through comics. They have one. They have another book they just sent me, too, about physics, learning physics. And it's kind of like the dummy's guide to physics, but it's more interesting.
They are really, this is kind of a new thing for them. They did the head first stuff, or maybe that wasn't O'Reilly. Maybe it was my publisher, Q. I think it was Q. They did the head first stuff. And the idea is they realize people have a hard time learning this stuff.
Yeah.
Now, is this aimed at high school kids?
I think it is aimed at anyone that wants to learn statistics. And I thought it would be good for those parents who do have high school kids. Who are struggling with statistics.
Abby took AP statistics, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And I think really loved it. But it is, you know,
can't imagine this isn't aimed at high school students because I don't know how many people would really. Well, isn't manga kind of a kid thing?
No.
Oh.
No, manga's for everybody. In fact, some of it's very adult.
Yeah. What
do you think about this table? Well, I feel like going out for ramen. What? You must feel like something other than that. I must. But I really don't. Well, one thing I can see is that the prices vary widely. But this table is just a bunch of numbers. It doesn't mean anything. How can we make this table more meaningful? Maybe you can make this into a graph. Correct! To make a graph, we first must make price groups. Huh?
It's making statistics more interesting to me.
It's fun. I like it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I mean, it's just, you know, mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, not any, not, this is one thing I've learned, is not every book is perfect for everybody.
No, that's true.
So there's different, we all learn different ways. Mm-hmm. So we need different stuff. This actually is very cool. I don't know if I would learn statistics from this, but I think I want to read it.
I think they have different manga guides, O'Reilly does, to different complicated things. Okay, now on to the save. A few weeks ago, we talked about Gagas. Remember you called it Gagas? And because
emphasis.
You called it Gagas, it is now going out of business.
No.
It is. This was the place where I rented formal wear online for the wedding that my kids were in. And they were the cutest little tuxedos.
Oh,
and it was so easy. I picked it out on the internet and then they sent it to me. I didn't even have to wash it. I just shoved it back in the box and sent it back. It was really cheap. And then I got an email saying that they were going out of business. But the reason
I hate
it's
to
in the
say
safe,
this, we're going to see more and more of this because the .com bust, the second round is about to come because of the economic crisis.
Yeah.
Nobody can get venture funding. So if you got venture funding or you were probably in the case of this, it wasn't venture funding. It was loans.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get more money.
It is sad because
a lot
I think,
of these are
going
to go out of business.
It's, and it's sad for us who lived through the first one where we were like, okay, well, they weren't producing a product. So,
right.
You know, but they had a good service and they were charging and it was, so anyway, they're going out of business, but there's a huge going out of business sale and got a bunch of dresses
for
Annabella.
Now you can buy this formal.
Yeah. For the price that you would rent it.
Wow.
So, I don't know about how much you'd need tuxedos. Maybe you have a kid. You probably would have loved to dress in a tuxedo every day.
If I had had at 8 years old, an all white tuxedo that I could have worn to school, look at this. It's an all-white suit. Wouldn't you love that?
And how
that?
Much can you get that for?
Let's see here.
The low, low price of
$22.99.
$22.99. That's great. But there's really cute dresses.
Okay, let's look at the size chart. 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, and then 5, 6, 7, 8. What is that? What ages would those be?
Usually like 5. Age 5 is size 5.
So when it says size 20, I could wear that.
It say size 20?
It goes up to 20.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess.
What's size 20 for a kid?
I don't know what size 20
In other words, I'd love to get Henry this suit.
Well, there's probably a sizing chart. You can check that later. I don't know what. I've never heard of a size 20 for a kid.
View size chart. let's see, it doesn't even go up to 14. It's go up to 20. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's still, these are still, 35-inch outseam on the pants, 25-inch inseam. I think I could fit this. This is close to my 20 would fit me.
You should get it.
I want a white
suit. $20.
And you know, if it's a little big, I would just look like you know, what's his name, and Stop Making Sense, yeah, the Talking Heads guy.
Right, exactly.
Just everybody should have a giant suit.
So this is good if you're looking for a holiday dress for your daughter or son, or you know, if your son
wears
dresses. Yes. Yeah. Gagas.com. Get them while they last.
$22. How, you know, I'm ordering it now. I mean, what? How could you go wrong?
Plus, you could give it to Henry if it didn't fit you.
He'll grow into it.
Right.
I'm buying it. All white suit.
And sell it on eBay for a lot more.
It's probably polyester.
I can't.
Size 20 is $7 extra, so it's going to be
$30. Oh, no.
That's okay.
All right. Now we're on to the give, because Felicity is going to call us pretty soon. This is called Metal for Monsters. It's metalformonsters.com. Did you used to, when you were little, did you collect for UNICEF on Halloween?
Yeah.
The little boxes.
Do they still do that? The orange boxes?
I've seen people collecting on their doorstep, like collecting, not walking around, but, you know, on D Street, there's always the big, that's the big place where everybody trick-or-treats in our town. Yeah. And I've seen people that are collecting, you know, as they're giving out candy. But I used to go around with a box. But I don't know if that people do that anymore. But if you want to participate, if you want to help out UNICEF, since Halloween is just around the corner, you can buy one of these really neat necklaces at metalsformonsters.com. They're limited edition, and $16 from each purchase goes to UNICEF, which, of course, gives basic, make sure that children have basic needs.
So these are necklaces for kids, or?
They are, I think, you know, a necklace could be for a kid or an adult.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like them. I don't know who the art, it's, you can click on who are the artists, and I've never heard of them, but they are kind of neat.
Well, so, Anna Chambers, who did Fart Monster, works. Figures I'd go there, isn't it? She works in television animation by day, painting backgrounds, and sews fun, quirky plush animals by night.
Hmm.
She moved from LA to Berkeley, where it is much cooler, but she is adapting. And so they have links to their sites and everything, and it's to benefit UNICEF.
Yeah.
Great cause. Oh, I like her style.
Oh, yeah.
She does
Sammy
nice
and
stuff.
Susie Woodchuck.
Yeah. I love that style.
So it's
so you help an artist and you help UNICEF.
Help children. So now we
let's,
are just...
Let's do a little commercial while we're
okay.
waiting for Felicity.
Do you want to do...
Tell us one more. Felicity runs a communal workplace, basically.
Yes, that has daycare. It's Cubes and Crayons.
Cubes and crayons.
Yeah, so you can work... And there's drop-in childcare, and you can rent the space.
That's a great idea.
But we'll find out more when she calls in. You want to talk about Go to My PC?
I do. We haven't talked about them, I don't think, on the show yet. It's a first for us. We've talked about Go to Meeting. Go to My PC, same people. It's a great product. I love Go to My PC. I use it all the time. It allows you to remote access your computer from anywhere. So I would set it up here on my PC. In fact, people have been saying you should use this on the TriCaster. I could log into the TriCaster from anywhere in the world, from home. But I could also do it from a hotel, an internet cafe, completely secure. You don't have to worry about firewalls. It goes right through them. And you can access it. I mean, when I say access it, it's just like you're there. So I'll log into my computer from a hotel in Toronto. And there's the computer running full time. I can run any application, any program. I can access any network resource. I can download programs, files, drag and drop them, run movies even. You hear the audio. It's very fast, very easy to use. Anytime you want to, you know, travel. For a small business owner like me, traveling means I'm out of touch. I can be in touch anywhere I go. It's won PC World's world-class award for best remote access software several times. Setup is easy, and now it's yours free for the next 30 days. You go to gotomypc.com/monkeys. Go to mypc.com/monkeys, and you can try Go to My PC absolutely free for the next month. Unlimited use, by the way, and that's why you want to use the gotomypc.com/monkeys address, because you can use it, you know, 24/7 for the next 4 weeks. gotomypc.com/monkeys. If you haven't tried it before, if you've been thinking about remote access software, believe me, this is the best. Fast, easy, efficient. You'll think of hundreds of ways to use it. gotomypc.com/monkeys, and we thank them so much for their support of Jumping Monkeys.
I can think of one way to use it. If you were co-working in a different place than where your home PC was and you had your laptop.
It really makes it possible to co-work anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of makes the world your oyster, so
That's
to speak.
True. Mm-hmm.
So Felicity Chapman is the owner of Cubes and Crayons, which is right now in San Jose only? Or?
I think so, yeah. It is. And you know what? It's funny, Leo, before she gets on the phone, I kind of forget how many people are listening to us. And we were talking on Twitter before and how I don't say anything on Twitter.
Do you have some friends on Twitter
I have
now?
I have more friends than anyone needs. I mean, not even close to you. It's probably like...
I have 58,000
It's probably
followers.
30, but that's a lot.
You got 58.
Me.
We got some new ones for you.
Yeah.
58 followers. By the time this show is over, you'll probably have 60.
Yeah. So, I'm still really...
Can you put a picture on there?
I'll put a picture, but I won't say anything until I really have something good to say.
Why should you be different from anyone else?
Well, because I gas for an hour every week here with all kinds of things.
You know who has the most followers on Twitter?
Kevin.
No, Barack Obama.
Oh.
He has almost 100,000 followers, 99,151. So here's a guy with almost 100,000 followers. Here's the kind of thing he says. Launching a tax calculator.
Launching a tax calculator?
At taxcut.barackobama.com.
Oh, tax calculator. I thought you said launching a
just
tax
just finished a major
calculator.
Policy address in Toledo, Ohio. I mean, it's like, it's boring.
Mm.
Asking you to get your family involved in this year's election.
And it's, by the way, not probably him.
I think people are following him thinking that, like, he's going to say... Yo, 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 man, I just had a, I don't know, great breakfast or having waffles at the waffle. He's not going to say that.
What if maybe he should ask people's opinion on things. He should say, are you going to vote for me?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. No, he's being very politic. Let's see what Kevin Rose says. No plans for a Victoria show right now. Talk to D.L. Prager. Damn, I do love Portland. This is a guy with 67,000 followers. You don't. Megan, the bar is low. I guess that's the point I'm making.
I'm putting a picture. Number
three on Twitter is that Leo Laporte guy. Let's see what he said last.
Number three on Twitter.
Number 58,000. I should be, but I'm not. This doesn't even make sense.
That's what you said?
That's the last thing I said. I should be, but I'm not.
That's good. I could spend a lot of time pondering what you meant by that.
You don't. Well, I like to be a little cryptic because it gives it a certain je ne sais quoi.
Mm-hmm. True. Now, I wonder if I told Felicity that I would call her.
There she is. Hi, Felicity.
Hi, sorry.
No problem. We were just waiting for you.
Okay. Well, I'm here now.
Do you have a baby with you or a small dove in your arms?
A baby. I have actually three kids with me right now.
Oh, so it's not
We're at the playground. I have my 13-month-old and my 3-year-old and our neighbor girl.
You are.
Whose mom is just coming shortly to watch my
very
children.
Kind of you to actually talk to us during your playtime.
Oh, it's okay. They're having a joyful day.
Felicity, well, should you get the drive at any point to jump on the slide and slide down, please do. And just make sure you go, woo, when you do.
I will. Can I just say woo, even though I'm not on the slide?
We won't know the difference.
To Felicity's credit, I rescheduled this interview on her maybe like 7 or 8 times.
That's okay.
It's probably my fault because, I'm a creep. So
yeah.
just blame Leo and I apologize, Felicity, but thank you for being flexible. We really appreciate it.
So why don't you start by telling us what co-working means in the sense of cubes and crayons?
Co-working means the same thing in the sense of cubes and crayons as it does other places. It's a drop-in place for people to use office space, whether it's a conference room or just come in, drop your laptop down on a desk or sit in a lounge chair or, I work on a giant table with other people working around you, and you just come and you drop in and sit down and get some work done and probably end up convening in the kitchen because that's where everybody loves to be, and make yourself a little espresso and
that
have
sounds
a piece
great.
Of dark chocolate and chat with somebody.
People who have done co-working, like Dane, my assistant here, say they love it because it's more communal. It's hard when you work at home by yourself.
Yeah. I agree, and I think, I mean, that's the joy of co-working, and if you talk to anybody who owns a co-working space or who has done it, the thing about it is that, we get two big pieces of feedback. One is that people find they're more productive when they come to a co-working space, and that's because you're sitting down there, everybody's working around you, you're like, well, dude, I should get some work done, and you can't get distracted doing the dishes or in random little things.
That's what I'd worry about.
Or whatever.
I'd worry I would get less work done because I'd be having so much fun, so, you know.
So there's that. That's the flip side. I mean, I think they're more productive when they are working, but they also get that, you know, being at home is very isolating.
Yeah.
And people, you know, technology, the best thing about technology is you can work from anywhere, any time of day. But the worst thing about technology is you can work from anywhere, any time of day. And so it kind of promotes everybody crawling into their own little hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, what co-working does is it says, hey, you don't have to come out every day, but come out and meet some other people and still have your own freedom to set your own hours and all of that. But come out and meet some other people. You know, people have gotten some great synergies and ended up with, you know, creating startup companies out of the people they've met in a co-working space, you know, or just become lifelong friends, or, you know, the owners of co-working spaces, you know, we all know each other through the Google group, but now we're actually starting to meet each other, you know, as we travel to different locations. And specifically, if we're going to Philadelphia, we'll specifically look up Alex Hillman at Indy Hall and go meet him, even though we've only talked to him basically online. So it's a whole interesting new world, I think.
So Cubes and Crayons combines co-working with childcare. Does everyone there also use the childcare, or do some people?
No. We have a mix. We have about 70% of our co-workers use the childcare, and about 30% just come in and work. And we have some people who come in and use, you know, they have children, and they use the child care some of the time, David, and then sometimes their children are preschool, and they still come and work at Cubes and Crayons just because they love being in the co-working space.
So how does it work? Do people rent the space on a month-to-month basis, or they pay drop-in rates?
So if they're just co-working without children, they just come and they can get a half-day pass, a full-day pass. They can get a dedicated office or a dedicated desk for a month, or they can get sublease a dedicated office. We do have a couple of people who sublease dedicated offices. We have a couple of people who sublease dedicated offices on certain days of the week.
So you can have an office that's all.
They have a dedicated office every Friday.
So you can have an office that's
filling up on the other time.
You can have an office that's all to yourself. In other words, completely private.
Yeah, dedicated office is an office all to yourself. Nobody else shares it with you. You can leave your stuff there. You know, we have a couple of people who rent file cabinets from us so that they can literally leave everything there, and the only thing they take with them is their laptop. And in that way, it works a little bit more like a traditional office space, like a Regis type place. But most of the people who use us or here 2 hours there, half a day here, you know, that kind of thing, as opposed to renting us for a full month, you know, and renting a dedicated office. Most of the offices are shared.
Do you find that people initially kind of dip their toe in and then book more and more time as time goes by?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's a great analogy. It's interesting. I mean, whether they use us for the childcare aspect or not.
I love the childcare.
People
That's
come in
great.
And they're like, oh, I'll just try out an hour. And 3 hours later, they're still there.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, or they'll come and take a tour and say, well, we're just going to use you occasionally. And pretty soon we're seeing them 4 or 5 times a week.
I actually thought of doing this myself in Petaluma because, you know, what we do is we do audio and video. And I thought I could probably set up a place that had all the equipment that we use, but not all the time, and let other people use it and have a nice kind of communal environment.
Mm-hmm.
What are the economics of this? How many, obviously, you know, you have to rent a place, you have to furnish it and equip it. So there's a big capital outlay for you. How many people do you have to have? Do you have to be busy, busy, busy to make this work?
We have to be pretty busy. We have to be at about, in terms of our childcare, we have to be at about 50% capacity, to be breaking even.
Yeah. Was this your investment, or do you have some partners in this?
My investment.
So you just said, I want to do this.
It's all me.
and it's
we'll sink or swim, all based on me.
Yeah. How long have you been doing it?
Kids and Crayons is going to celebrate 9 months on the 24th.
And is October. And now here we are heading into tough times, especially, you know, for small businesses. Mm-hmm. Do you feel bullish about the future for Cubes and Crayons?
You know what? It's funny. I'm surprisingly, it's not that I'm ignorant to obviously the economic times, but I'm not so worried as we have seen in terms of our target market. We haven't seen much change,
right?
Except that our contract workers are having a little bit more trouble finding new contracts.
Right.
That's the biggest way we're being affected. But Cubes and Crayons has got, it's got a lot of buzz. You know, I get inquiries every month, every day into, now, are we going to open in San Francisco and Chicago and New York and
That's a real opportunity. I mean,
that's, so for us, we have a lot of opportunity to expand. We have people who are pulling their, you know, pulling their resources and a group of 10, you know, people are saying, hey, we want a Cubes and Crayons in San Francisco.
Oh, that's neat.
We'll all put in, how much do we each have to put in and be a partner in it? And so we're kind of expanding by letting other people who want a Cubes and Crayons, we bring the infrastructure and the knowledge. We're letting other people come be partners.
So you're going to kind of franchise? Is that how you're going to do it? Sort of a franchise?
Well, I mean, not so much a franchise because, well, we can franchise, but I'm co-working. It's kind of an anti-corporate type philosophy.
Stick it to the man. Yeah.
Franchise is not really, and I never really, I always dreamed of Cubes and Crayons being nationwide, but I never, even as I dreamt that, I didn't really dream of being a big corporation.
You see yourself as
I love all of these people who have approached me and said, I really want a Cubes and Crayons, you know, would you franchise it? And I'm like, not really franchise, but I said, you know,
show you how to
do it. We'll go in where we'll own 50% of the, you know, Austin location, and you can own 50%, or you can get a group of 10 parents
That's
in
neat.
Or coworkers, and everybody can put in, you know, X dollars, and we can open one all together.
I would have welcomed that, because one of the reasons I didn't do this is I had no idea what the economics were. So somebody who's done it before, you have a huge value.
Yeah.
The knowledge base.
And it's one of those where if I'm going to give all the knowledge, I want at least a little stake of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's completely
fair. I think Cubes and Crayons has really built a brand. We're going to be in Entrepreneur Magazine next week. We've already been in the New York Times and Chicago Tribune.
That's great.
You know, we're a unique enough concept that I'd rather have a stake and help people open it nationwide than watch other people do it just because they read about us and have them call it something else.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Well, but you are also a movement as much as a big business. I mean, this and it's certainly a movement that is very timely. I think this is how people want to work.
Yeah. And I think this is the way the world's going. I talked to somebody at Accenture about 4 months ago, and, you know, she was telling me that they're a huge corporation, and they're trying to figure out, as their leases start to come up, how much do they really need to renew their leases versus, you know, do they get rid of some of their corporate space because they're having so many people telework?
Right.
You know, and if people are telework, you know, a lot of people who work, some people who co-work, you know, they're independent contractors, they're software people, they're management consultants or whatever, but a lot of them work for big corporations and have options to flexibly, but they don't want to work flexibly from home. They want to go work near home and meet some new people. You know.
Did the gas crisis help your business?
Did
the gas crisis help your business?
We haven't seen a major change, but I think long term we will.
Yeah.
We also have the value that we're near a train station. In that we're about 5 blocks to walk from a train station. You know, people can take the train to us. They can drive to us. They can ride their bike to us if they're close enough. You know, we have some people who come over from Stanford. We have some grad students who work from us because we're literally in Stanford's backyard, and they just ride their bikes over to us.
I love it. What's the percentage of freelancers to employees?
It's about 40% freelancers and 60% employed.
See, I wouldn't have thought that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, and you know, we actually, I mean, I've talked to a lot of other co-working space owners, and I think Cube France has a different dynamic than a lot of them in that, in terms of some of the, like, we don't have necessarily a lot of people who are in software or web-based jobs. You know, we have medical researchers, and we have market researchers, and we have several writers. We have about 6 or 7 grad students who are working on everything from master's to their PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
So we have kind of, I mean, you don't see that dynamic everywhere, and I'm not sure quite why we have that dynamic. I would have thought in Silicon Valley we should have all software.
Yeah.
But we have a really real large variety of professions, and our coworkers are smart. Working for somebody else, they have gotten their corporation that they work for to pay for them to be at Kids and Cram.
What would you say are the critical features of a successful co-working setup? Is it good coffee, good music, good Wi-Fi?
Well, good Wi-Fi is really key because everybody is grumpy if they can't get on the internet and can't get work done.
Do you have what do you have? Do you have a special business class connection?
We have a commercial grade Wi-Fi router that can basically keep being cranked up as we get more people using it.
And is it cable internet or what? T1?
I think it's cable internet.
Yeah.
But we set up a long time ago. I don't really know.
Yeah. But no, I would think that'd be... In fact, I would go there if it were faster than my home. That would be a real incentive to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people like that. But I think a lot of it is just the community feel and what...
Yeah.
Each co-working space definitely has its own personality.
Mm-hmm.
As you go to different ones. And so I think the success is dependent on creating a co-working space that has the right personality for your area. You know, I know people who have gone to Sandbox Suites and to Citizen Space and Hatbox, what's it called, the Hatbox, up in, yes, you may have one in Mountain Base. Go ahead. in San Francisco. And, you know, they've gone to all three because they're looking for the one that they feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed.
So a lot of it is creating, making sure that you have the market for the personality of the space you want to create.
Well, I noticed you have, for instance, mottos on the wall.
Yeah. That's all me. That's a very personal part of me that I just, that was what I had to put
up. I like
it.
I like it. I bet the people like it. I'm looking at your Flickr pictures, your Flickr gallery. All acts performed in the world begin in the imagination. That's inspiring.
Yes,
yeah, that's a nice inspiration.
Well, that's one of my things is that I like to, when I'm kind of, you know, stuck in a rut or sort of drifting and maybe surfing the internet and not really focused, I like to look up and see a quote up there, and that is like, wow, yeah, that's cool, you know. And I love walking through the different rooms. When I work at Cubes and Crayons, I work in different spaces each time because I like to read the different quotes.
Oh, that's neat.
Even though I found them all, it's still, you know, my favorite one is probably don't follow trends, start them.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know I was on the trend when we started Cubes and Crayons.
Yeah, you kind of did.
But we are.
Mostly so. Women because of the childcare or equal number of men?
Not equal number of men. Probably 70% women, 30% men.
Mm-hmm.
We have some people where both, you know, if they have a child, both the man and the woman use us, usually at different times.
Oh, that's so neat. That's so neat. I love that.
We have some men who use us who are pure coworkers who don't have children. We have this one group, one of my favorite group of guys who they own they're doing a startup and they all work in different areas and they together like once a month. Oh. And they come and they book our conference room and they sit in our conference room for 2 days straight. And three of them just hash out a bunch of things and then they go off to their own little corners and work on whatever their action items were. And
that's a great idea.
They talk about their favorite thing is our chocolate. And my office manager said, well, of course we have good chocolate. It's run by a woman. All women have good chocolate.
It's true. Yeah, so, if you want the chocolate.
That was another one of my things, is I said, you know, we have to have chocolate available at all times.
So it's not coffee, it's chocolate that you need.
In our space, it's chocolate. You have to have chocolate.
Huh. I always say, if you want good chocolate, cherchez la femme.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't say that, but I think you should put that on the wall now.
I will. Maybe we'll add that close because we have a couple blank spaces and they're still waiting for things up. I keep hoping that somebody will, we kind of ask our clients every once in a while, you got a good quote, because there are a couple spaces where we could add some quotes. And I'm trying for them not to come from me, but to come from our Kids in Crayons community. You know, because I already came up with 12 by myself.
How many of the people there use the childcare? Is that kind of the critical determinant to using your space?
Initially, it was the only determinant in that it took a while for people to realize that, and it took us a little bit in terms of our marketing for people to realize that they could use it without the childcare.
You don't have to use the crayons.
You don't have to use the childcare. You know, we have a fabulous space. We have conference rooms. We have... great lounge with all kinds of resource books, and we just have a great community to be in, whether you have a kid or not. And a lot of people are like, well, I'm a parent, I can't go there, kind of thing.
Interesting.
Or my kids are too old, I can't go there. And so it took us a while to sort of get that understood. But now that, now people get it. And we have a real mix between people who come for the child care and come for the community and come for just, the office space, purely just to have the office space.
Neat. Well, you have bloggers, you have writers, you have all kinds of people. And I think that it is the natural state of people to want to work together with other people. So I can understand why.
Yeah, it's a little bit like my brother shares a studio space that he rents with four other artists.
Yeah.
And he has a real job, but in addition to his art job, but he rents a studio space that he, and I feel like co-working is sort of the next, for the non-artist, it's the next kind of, it's like the artist commune with technology,
Yep.
It's an artist studio with technology. It's everybody coming in, working on their own thing, but side by side and getting that sense of community. Instead of working in their own little hole.
Well, thank you so much, Felicity. I'm glad we could finally get you on. So it's cubesandcrayons.com, and you guys are located right near Stanford, you said?
Yeah, we're in Menlo Park. We're opening in Austin in, we're still targeting January, although it may be February. And San Francisco's on the horizon. We actually are waiting for about... We need about three more investors, small investors for San Francisco, and we will be in San Francisco soon.
So impressed.
I hope. We have a space in San Francisco found. We're just waiting for, we have five investors on board, and we just need a couple, and we're ready to open in San Francisco.
Right under the Carpaccio's canopy in Menlo
Park.
That's
where we are right now, yeah. Yep. We're right above Carpaccio's.
People know where Carpaccio's is, I'm sure.
Yes, in downtown Menlo Park,
yeah.
You think Carpaccio's been there for 25 years. Yeah. So.
And I think it's important to have
we're above Carpaccio's. They're like, oh, I know exactly where you are.
Yeah, exactly, right. And it's important to have a good restaurant nearby, I think.
Yes.
Yep. Very important. Thanks, Felicity.
Okay, thank you very much.
Really appreciate your taking the time while you're at the playground. You can now get on the swings.
You got to be a good multitasker. All right.
Alrighty.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Felicity Chapman of Cubes and Crayons. I think this is such a good idea. It's something that I actually wanted to do. And as I said, I was a little scared off by the... I didn't understand completely how the economics would work. But I thought, when we did this place, that would be really nice to let other people... I was thinking especially people who want to do media.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that someday.
I think that would be great for podcasts, definitely. Yeah. I mean, because people don't... I mean, you could do it at home, but,
Now, if we did a little bit better, if we were doing well enough that we could get more equipment and maybe expand a bigger space, I would do that. Because I like the idea of mentoring and encouraging other podcasters to do their thing.
Right, so. And then you could take some time off.
I take time off. I'm going to take 5 minutes off right after the show.
Okay.
Before we take time off, though...
Yes.
We should mention audible.com.
Mm-hmm, we should.
Now, are we doing Audible Kids or Audible?
Today, we're doing Audible.com.
The regular Audible. Mm-hmm.
Which also has kids' books.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, I think, for people. But Audible.com is the kind of the parent site. And mm-hmm. you've heard us talk about Audible by now. I mean, it saved my life. In a way, I feel like I'm doing ads for something that I would do. Don't tell them this, but I would do ads for anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love Audible. I'm always listening to a new Audible book. Always downloading new Audible books. I just added two new books to my library. One of the neat things about Audible, they have 51,000 books. But when you've done a download from Audible.com, it goes into your library and you can go back and listen to it again and again. So it really is like a book library. And so I don't keep them all necessarily. I only keep maybe a half dozen books on my iPod at any one time. But boy, I can always go back and read again. And there are books like The Life of Pi that I would love to go back and read again. It was such a good Audible mm-hmm. book. You have a recommendation, I know.
I do. This week's recommendation is Blindness by Jose Saramago.
A great kid's book, I think.
Yeah. Oh, so depressing, but really good. It's read by Jonathan Davis. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him as a reader, but I actually read this book, but I wished I had listened to it because I think it would have been less exhausting. It's one of those books that's really great, but it's exhausting to
Jennifer
read.
Jennifer reads depressing books, too, and I never can understand why you'd want to read a sad book.
Well, I don't know. This was a movie.
What's the story?
The movie just came out, but the movie was supposed to be bad. It's a plague of blindness, an epidemic of blindness. So one person turns blind, and then, you know, everybody turns blind except this one woman. And it's a parable, basically. Like, it's not, you know, it's not a realistic book, but it's great. And it's so dark. It's kind of like The Road, in that the reason why you read them is because it makes you appreciate
what you
how
got.
Lucky you are.
Yeah.
So,
and it you know, I think that novelists love this trope of what if a crisis like this happens, and how does it change how we act? You know, we all know how we act day to day.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when the worst happens?
Right.
What does that bring out? It starts with The Lord of the Flies. I mean, yeah. What does that bring out of us?
Yeah.
And this sounds like kind of a Lord of the Flies situation.
It is, yeah.
Let me play a little bit. I'll play a little bit of audio for you.
Okay. It's translated from the Portuguese.
Oh, I love stuff. Just do it in the original Portuguese.
The translator died before he finished it.
Did he go blind?
Nothing to justify this upheaval. Call the police, they shouted. And get that old wreck out of the way. The blind man pleaded, please, will someone take me home? The woman, who had suggested a case of nerves, was of the opinion that an ambulance should be summoned to transport.
Now, I just want to say something about the reader. He's great. I think I've listened to others of his books, but this is typical of the Audible readers. And it's something I maybe reassure people about a little bit, because sometimes people go, oh, I can't listen to a book. I'd lose focus. They're very specific. You can hear as he mm-hmm. reads, it's not all mushed together word after word, word salad.
Mm-hmm.
It's very specific. They actually almost walk you through the book.
Yeah.
And it's not hard at all. I mean,
yeah.
you get to the point where I think I follow audiobooks better than I follow. A lot of times I'll reread a paragraph. I'll get mm-hmm. sleepy, but I can follow audiobooks very well. I think you're going to love it. And that's why we have this deal. You go to audible.com/monkeys. And you get your first book free. Monkeys is spelled unlike this with a E. I put the no E in the monkeys. Let me M-O-N-K-E-Y. Oh, no, Leo. Audible.com/monkeys. There we go. And you can sign up for Audible. You get a free credit toward any book, including Blindness by Jose Saramago.
Mm-hmm.
See, every time you come in and make a recommendation, now I got to add this to my card. I want to hear this.
But speaking of the readers, you know, we are Audible members, so we get the one book every month, but that's not enough for us. So we do get books from the library, too, and we just got The Wizard of Oz, and the reader is horrible. Like, I'm positive they would not have had this on Audible.
No, and I got to warn you.
It sounded like a computer.
I am. Yep, yeah, you could. Yeah. See, I started not with Audible, with uh-huh. other, with, I won't, not to be mentioned, another, actually, three different cassette companies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hit or miss. No, Audible readers are great. They're near New York City, so they use mm-hmm. Broadway actors
right.
for the most part. And these people are used to using words in a way that you understand them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so good. I'm in awe of them. Having read that little short kids story, mm-hmm. I appreciate what these guys are doing.
It's you mean amazing. The tale of Little Golden Hood?
Yeah. Still available for free, by the way. In fact, I think they're marking it down. Now they're going to pay you to download it.
Okay.
Audible.com/monkeys. We thank them so much for their support of Jumping Monkeys.
Okay. I have a few more links. One, this is a quick one. This was in the news. The American Academy of Pediatrics doubled the daily recommendation intake of vitamin D
for
kids.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
And for adults, too.
Yes.
We don't get enough vitamin D.
We don't. We're not out in the sun. And vitamin D deficiency in kids has been linked to diabetes, multiple sclerosis, cancer, and arthritis.
In fact, I read, and I'm sure it's bogus, but I read a whole long piece on the internet saying also autism. Mm-hmm. But what happens is we're all wearing so much sunscreen.
Mm-hmm. We're inside more.
Sunglasses. We don't go outside. We're afraid of exposure to the sun. Mm-hmm. A little sun. They say 15 minutes twice a week. Mm-hmm. But if you're worried about that, there are, you know, take a supplement.
Because it's cod liver oil.
Mom was right.
Yeah, mom was right.
I thought that was a punishment.
Yeah, I think it was for you. But no, yeah, because, I mean, we don't give cod liver oil. But you can, there's like all kinds of those oils you can just stick in your foods as you're cooking. Yeah. They can't really taste it. Or like chicken smoothies.
More vitamin D. And we'll put a link in the show notes. Actually, jumpingmonkeys.com, you'll have the link there to that article so that you can read more about that. But I saw that too, and I was, wow.
I got one more link. You're familiar with the Z Frank?
Zay Frank. Zay Frank. I love Zay Frank.
He's going to come on the show. We're trying to find a time for yes.
He's great. I love
him. He has a lot of interesting kids projects. One that he just did recently was he did this kids book where you could, Denise Howell actually told me about this. He had the pictures and kids could send in audio sounds for the pictures, I think it was. But this link is Color War 2008, Young Me, Now Me. Are you at the link?
Yeah.
What he asked people to do was submit their pictures, their baby or kid pictures, and
so these
recreate
are real,
them.
Real kid pictures?
Real kid pictures, and they're recreating them.
Oh, they sit the same way. They pose the
look
same
at that
way.
Brother and sister.
That,
isn't that funny?
Is
she
weird.
She has the same expression.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to go in on that one. So on the left, they're adults.
Yes.
On the right, they're kids.
Yeah.
Wearing the same outfits, the overalls, the red t-shirt. The same sailor suit and the same barrette and the same look. And wow.
Yeah.
I got to do that with my sister.
You should.
Wow.
You should. Do you have a picture like that in front of that little cloudy thing?
I have a picture of me with my arm around my sister. I'm about 8. She's about 6.
You guys should do that.
We'd have to duplicate the outfits. That might be hard to do.
Yeah. Z Frank has one of him, too. I should have said.
Zay is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, these are hysterical. Oh, these are great.
There's one of like a guy and his dad, too. So there's a whole Flickr pool. You can upload yours and you can look through them. Young
so
Me, Now Me.
Young Me, Now Me is what. Or actually, if you use Young Now as the tag, right?
Right. Yeah, that's
young
the tag.
Young Now is the tag.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, oh my goodness. And
Zay
did some, but those were the winners.
He did, yeah. He did one too. And he's standing in front of like these scribbles like that he did like when he was a kid. And then he has this old one is where he's standing next to like his more recent art. It's really
cool.
Oh,
these are wild.
Yeah.
Well, he's such an original. He comes up with such great ideas. This
he does.
Is really
It's
clever.
Not pronounced Z?
Zay.
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 Yeah, is that Zay his real name?
No.
Do you know his real name?
Yeah. We've interviewed him on
Net at Night.
Yeah. I know Zay.
Does
There's a
not?
Whole story. In fact, we asked him. I think I asked him on the show
about so everybody's heard
Zay.
It. Look, check Wikipedia,
so,
people.
I love it. I love it when it's sisters and brothers.
I know. Isn't that so cute?
To see them again and just, it's so, that's the same picture.
That's a Now Me, Now Me.
That's a Now Me, Now Me. Not allowed.
Oh, look at that. The three.
Wow. You know, you grow up funny, don't you?
You grow.
Oh, boy. Here's a guy in his cowboy
Look,
hat.
Look, he's holding a gun in the baby picture, and he's holding a naked Ken doll in the other picture.
Well, he probably couldn't find a gun. Or maybe he's against guns now. Or maybe he just likes naked Ken dolls. It could be.
I really like that one.
That's a really funny picture. So this is. We have links in this in the
show
notes.
Okay. All right. We got to do some listener feedback.
I got to tell. You know what? Our plea for calls has been very successful.
Oh, good. I was getting worried that no one was listening.
We
I
got
was getting ready
so
to,
many calls.
I was getting ready to give up on this podcast altogether this week.
Oh, don't get discouraged.
I was discouraged.
Here's Renee. She used the web button.
Okay.
We like the web button. That's a good way to do it. There's no charge to you if you use the web button.
Hi, Megan and Leo. This is Renee from Cape Cod. And I just wanted to thank you, Leo, for kind of walking us through how to access some of the original podcasts. I just got through listening to number one. And Megan, you were delightful. You
See?
Sounded like a pro from the get-go.
Yeah, she is a pro.
And I often hear you say, parenting in the digital age, but it was really nice to listen to you explain that a little bit in depth and what your mission statement was and what you were really hoping to accomplish, and I think you've done a great job meeting those goals. And one interesting thing was you had talked about getting Leo on board and get him starting running, and I haven't heard anything about that lately. I was wondering if that ever panned out. Great podcast, guys. Bye.
I hate that these live forever. Don't
we were
you?
Gonna. I don't even run that much anymore.
We were gonna run together, but
yeah,
I
we were
have
gonna
been,
do a running
I,
podcast
since before then. Go to the gym 3 times a week. I have a trainer. Today I did the fireman's workout. Mm. We have it was a circuit with big heavy weights. I was lifting 75 pounds over my shoulders and moving around. And then I did run 15 minutes on the treadmill. I biked 20 minutes. They have a new thing where you have a course on the screen and I espresso.net, I think, and you log in and you keep track of your. So I have been working on a lot. I've been practically running every 3 times a week. And now I'm on a big diet too, where I only eat leaves.
Oh, remember what Dr. Danny said? Don't reduce more than 300 calories.
No. Dr. Danny would be happy with this.
Okay.
Dr. Danny would say, you know, Leo, you're doing the right thing. I'm not trying to lose. I'm not even counting
not
calories.
That's what Dr. Danny sounds like.
You are doing the right thing, Leo. Anyway, thank you for that great call. That's nice. And what was it that we were trying to do with this show?
We were going to do a running podcast. At that point, I was running like 20 miles a week or something. But then I started doing the podcast and it was time anymore.
Oh, blame me.
So, yeah. Now
blame
I'm down to like twice. I've been doing more yoga and going to the gym, lifting
weights.
You
look great. You actually, you've lost weight. You look like you're in great shape. No?
I don't know.
I'm
don't
just
know.
Making it up.
I know.
I can't really see you.
It's a constant battle. We're battling
it
against
is.
Our age.
It
we
is.
All are, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Julia from Queensland, Australia says, I was listening a while ago and there was a mention of scanning your photos. The discussion touched on the fact that JPEG is not the most ideal format, but I cannot for the life of me remember what the better option was.
I like painting it on the back of an envelope.
I believe it was TIFF.
TIFF, T-I-F-F, which is an uncompressed. The key is uncompressed file. You don't want to use lossy compression because you lose some of the quality.
Mm-hmm. She Julia says she's never had great success at scanning photos and have kind of given up on it all. It's too hard.
Should we play caller bingo again?
Yes.
Caller bingo. Brian used the web button. I like people who use the web button.
Hey, Megan. Brian Gordon calling from eBeanstalk. If you could give me a call back at 203.
Don't play his number.
This is a message. This is not a message machine. So
well,
that somebody wants to be on the show.
eBeanstalk. I'll check it out. Now he's on the show.
He's going to be on the show. Here's Lee from the web button. Go ahead, Lee. You're next.
Hey, lawyers. I dare you to use this just because I always dare lawyers. Hi, my name is Lee. I'm from Chicago. I've emailed Megan before, and I felt guilty for not phoning it in, so I'm phoning it in this time.
Thank you, Lee.
My recommendation this week is a good give recommendation. It is CostumeStudio.com. They are giving 100% of their proceeds for Halloween costumes, including a really good kid selection. For the children of war-torn Uganda.
Oh, wow.
So it is costumestudio.com, and have a look at the main page, and they'll let you know what's up. Thanks very much for everything. You guys are the best. Bye.
Hey, very timely. Thank you. I need a costume.
Yeah, because Halloween is this weekend, I think, because we're one episode ahead.
Yeah, so I'm desperate at this point.
I am definitely, because I have such trouble with Halloween, because we've already done our Halloween costumes. I haven't gotten one for me, but I think I will go there, and I'll spread the word about that.
Look at this one.
No sexy costumes. I don't do sexy costumes, A. And B, I want to make them, but then having time. We made Milo's. Milo is the night sky, and we took a black sweatpants and stuck. My goal is one maid costume, and the rest they can, you know, I bought.
Once in their life, they should have a maid costume.
No, last year we made Annabella's costume, but this year we made Milo's glow-in-the-dark star stickers and planets and stuff, and my friend Anne gave me the idea to put like a big glow-in-the-dark circle on his bottom. So he's the full moon.
I bet he loved that.
So anybody can
take
that idea.
Did you have to explain what that meant?
Well, we haven't done it yet because Halloween hasn't happened. But, you know, and the other thing is 3.5-year-old boys, you never know if they're going to wear the costume or not. But Huck wanted to be a black cat, so I got him this little cat suit at Target. And Annabella wanted to be a hula girl, and I exercised my Amazon Prime overnight free shipping.
Girl.
And that's so, you know, you can't do everything right. But I'm going to definitely go to Costume Studio
that
and order
looks
one
really
for myself.
Great. And for a good cause.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. I like to borrow costumes. It's kind of a waste, but... Okay, do we have time or do we have to go?
No, we have to go. But I want to tell you, this is episode 69 of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And look how many followers Megan Maroney now has on Twitter.
69 that's
followers.
So, funny.
So thank you, everybody. Twitter.com/Megan Maroney. And maybe if we get to 100 followers, Megan will post something.
I'll post my picture, but I'm going to remain
silent. No, it's Twitter.
Silent.
You can only post text, 140 characters.
No,
that's it.
My picture in the profile.
Oh, you'll put your
thing.
Picture in, but you're not going to ever say anything.
I don't know. You'll have to wait. But you said people don't like, they want to follow. It's a free follow.
I was trying to make it feel better.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We have more feedback for next week. And
if you want to call us, we'd love to hear from you. That's our phone number, 707-981-4602, or just go to jumpingmonkeys.com and press the button that says something like call me or something like that. And what happens is that it's Google Grand Central. You give them your number and they will automatically call you. They don't save your number.
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely private and you can leave us a message and we love that. And that way it costs you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Maroney, next week, I will ask you what you did for Halloween.
Okay. And I will ask you.
You can ask me and I will... Let's hope it's not. It doesn't involve tin foil or masking tape.
Right, but I want you to go on there and get one of those sexy costumes for yourself.
I was going to be a pirate.
Sexy pirate?
Sexy pirate.
Okay, good.
You know why? Because sexy costumes are cheaper costumes. Less fabric, less cost.
That's actually not true, unfortunately. But thank you very much.
Speaking as the voice of experience, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time on...
Jumping Monkeys.
Bye-bye.